Join me in the prayer for understanding of God's word. Gracious God, heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will not pass away. Your words stand forever. May our generation be attentive so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we remember your ways and gladly do right, meeting you wherever and whenever you appear. In Christ's name, we pray. I'll be reading from Isaiah 64, 1 through 9, and I'll be reading from Peterson's The Message. It's titled, Can We Be Saved? Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and descend, make the mountains shudder at your presence, and when a forest catches fire, as when fire makes a pot to boil, to shock your enemies into facing you, make the nations shake in their boots. You did terrible things we never expected, descended and made the mountains shudder at your presence. Since before time began, no one has ever imagined, no ear heard, no eye seen, a God like you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who happily do what is right, who keep a good memory of the way you work. But how angry you've been with us. We've sinned and kept it up for so long. Is there any hope for us? Can we be saved? We're all sin-affected, sin-contaminated. Our best efforts are greasy rags. We dry up like autumn leaves. Sun-dried, we're blown off by the wind. No one prays to you or makes the effort to reach out to you because you've turned away from us, left us to stew in our own sins. Still, God, you are our Father. We're the clay and you're our potter. All of us are what you made us. Don't be too angry with us, God. Don't keep a permanent accounting of our wrongdoing. Keep in mind, please, we are your people, all of us. The word of God for the people of God.
I love hearing our brother in Christ, Dr. Vasher, read from The Message. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you speak, and certainly in your word of Scripture, through our liturgist, maybe even through me. But you speak in each of our lives all the time. Help us to be open to that. Thank you for the love behind that. You creating and nurturing us, your people. And as your people, we pray in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. I want you to go ahead and look at somebody. If they've nodded off, gently wake them. We don't want anybody and I don't mean to look at anybody in particular. We don't want anybody shouting out, startled. Go ahead and look them right in the eyes and just say, with whatever inflection you want, you better just simmer down. You better just simmer down. That's not nice to point at the pastor when her turns it. Anyways, I don't know if you've ever said that or that kind of thing to someone, okay? And maybe you were with someone who was not necessarily wanting to wait in line, okay? Maybe you don't like to wait in line. Yeah, and some of you are boldly saying, no, I don't, Pastor, not at all. Well, over at the UPS store just recently, actually it was last year, but they're starting to go ahead and develop a system, okay, where people, you know, this mass of people that come in there, they're waiting and you kind of take your turn. Only it was kind of interesting to watch one sister in Christ who, even though it wasn't her turn, she had waited long enough and she just went forward. And the next person in line whose turn it was just went like this. So I was just quietly praying the name of Jesus for calm and no packages flying around there. Waiting upon God, being in God's timing. In our walk as Christians, that's probably what takes the most energy, really. Whenever it comes down to it, being in God's time, being open to how God is guiding us. And sometimes we really don't want to wait. You know, there's a great theologian. You might have heard his name, Dr. Seuss. When you read any of Dr. Seuss's books, you realize there's always a deeper meaning. And there's a book that he wrote called Oh, the Places You Go, You'll Go. And I got it whenever I graduated from high school, actually. That was probably my level of reading, actually, maybe. Who knows? Maybe that's why it just dawned on me. Wow! That's why they gave that to me. But there's a particular section in this book that talks about what we're talking about, namely waiting. Not necessarily waiting on God, but waiting. It talks about arriving at, in your life, the waiting place. Anybody been there? Anybody there right now? For people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go. For a bus to come. Or a plane to go. Or the mail to come. Or the rain to go. Or the phone to ring. Or the snow to snow. Or the waiting around for a yes or no. Or waiting for their hair to grow. Nothing. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. The people of God were waiting. And the prophet Isaiah spoke into that waiting time. They were in exile. They were conquered. They were beaten up, battered, and bruised. And they were waiting upon God to work in their life once again. Isaiah speaks a word that we all have spoken whenever we are battered or beaten up or broken or bruised or feel like we're in exile. And he speaks a word that is very powerful. He's trying to get the attention of God. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens, God, and come down. So that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. God, I want you to work, but I want you to work right now. Lord, grant me patience, but I want it now. Whenever we're battered, whenever we're tired, broken, bruised, waiting on God's timing, waiting on God, is not necessarily something that we're very good at. But we're not alone. And the good news is that even though we're not necessarily good at waiting on God, that doesn't stop God from working and moving in our lives. Advent is a reminder of that. Advent, God breaking in to his creation once again. Since we are part of that creation, and since we are his created ones, does that mean God is breaking in to us as well? Yes. All of these beautiful decorations remind us and point us to that one that we should not forget, Jesus. God incarnate, God coming in human form to remind us that God knows about us, knows all that we are experiencing, and loves us even more. For the people of God who were broken and battered, certainly the prophet crying out, saying, God, work in a powerful way. Well, God was already at work. And that's something, and that is a wonderful gift, that whenever it happens in our lives, whenever that recognition takes place, we are surprised, stunned, sometimes brought to tears, filled with joy, not just happiness, but God's joy, whenever we realize God has been at work. Have you ever had one of those experiences? You realize, wow, God has already been at work. I just wasn't paying attention. I was so distracted. But God never stops working in those lives that He considers most precious, the lives of His people, His children, His church. We are called in the midst of many different distractions. Life in general, but particular times of year also, to make a place for God in our hearts, where God resides. Certainly, our hearts, the very center of our being, okay, our soul, there are a lot of things that can fill that up. Anger, resentment, grief, bitterness, tension. God doesn't want us to hold on to any of those things. But rather, no matter what is going on around us, in spite of everything that's going on around us, especially if it's difficult and trying times, God is at work in us. We don't have to shout out to the heavens and say, God, break forward in a powerful way. Come down and shake the foundations of the earth. Make the oceans rage and roar. God is already at work in the most powerful way in each and every one of us. Already. Already. And so that place in us, that place where God resides, can be a place of strength. That can be a place of gratitude. That can be a place where we have the endurance to be able to wait, even when we want to act. We can wait upon God. There's a story that comes from World War II when a young woman named Etty Hillesum kept a journal of her days under Nazi occupation in her native Holland. Let me read. As she watched the slow destruction of the Jewish ghetto in Amsterdam, she wrote, quote, "The jasmine behind my house has been completely ruined by the rains and storms of the last few days. But somewhere inside of me, the jasmine continues to blossom undeterred. And it spreads its scent round the house in which you dwell, O Heavenly Father. You can see I look after you. I bring you not only my tears and my forebodings on this stormy gray Sunday morning, I even bring you scented jasmine, Lord. I shall try to make you at home always." Etty, her parents, and a brother and sister died in Auschwitz concentration camp. But in her journals, which were published in An Interrupted Life, the diaries of Etty Hillesum, she says that in the ruins and rubble of her life, she came to to a place of deep assurance. In the scripture passage, this one word of assurance can get lost. But it's right there at the beginning of verse 8. Right there at the very beginning of verse 8, depending on your translation. In the translation that I'm looking at, that one word of hope and assurance is this: yet. In other words, there's more to come. There's better things on the way. Even when we cry out to God, even when we realize that our own petulance sometimes has created messes in our own lives, yet God never, ever loses track of us. And God's love never stops. Yet, Isaiah says, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are the works of your hands. You are the works of God's hands. And therefore, since God's fingerprints are all over you, there is hope. Always. There is always hope. We understand that even though we worship in the shadow of the cross, that does not point towards death. That points towards resurrection. That points to the Savior who has promised, delivered, who has come, who has risen and reigns. And that points to life and new life, and therefore hope that we always have each and every day, no matter what the storms of life bring into our journey. We are not defined by those things that are happening around us, by those storms. We are defined by God and God's love and grace. So for that reason, my friends, we are people of hope, even in the midst of challenging times, especially in the midst of challenging times. Christian contemporary song by Danny Gokey has this chorus. There's hope in front of me. There's a light I still see. There's a hand still holding me, even when I don't believe it. I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better days still up ahead. Even after all I've seen, there's hope in front of me. Christians don't lose heart, even when that heart is broken. When that heart is broken, that means it's open to compassion. It's open to sharing that love that is already churning in us. And remember, once again, that heart is not defined by anything going on around us, but by God and God alone, because God loves you more than you can imagine. It's a joy and a celebration when people come to the awareness that God is at work in their life, and they were aware of that before, but they want to celebrate that, and they want to share that awareness in a way of worship of God. And our brother, Chuck Lodge, wants to share that time right now through his baptism and in joining the church. Gene, come on up. And Chuck, you should be glad that I remembered this bowl for the baptism also. You're that important that I'll go ahead and walk out and leave worship for you, no question about it, but I'll come back as well. Would you go ahead? Come on up here. Come on up. Come on up. Would you go ahead and hold this for me? Thank you so much. It's a celebration because I know what you are doing is saying, in the midst of all that life sends your way, you claim that name of Christ above all names and know that with your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you have hope, resurrection, and redemption. Do you open yourself and claim that saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ this very day?
Yes, I do.
Chuck, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. It is a pleasure not only to baptize you, but to have you as the newest member of Gila Mountain United Methodist Church. Let's celebrate God at work. Thank you, my friend. Congratulations. Thank you. And you know, this guy takes his membership seriously. Before he was even a member, he was fixing a plumbing project in our kitchen. So I really want to give him a hand for that. That's real service. Folks, join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that once again, you've reminded us we're not people of fear. We're people of faith. We're not people of hopelessness. We're people of hopefulness. And indeed, sometimes, even when we feel separated from you, you've never forgotten us. You love us more than we can imagine. That's why hope is one of the defining words in the vocabulary of faith of each and every brother and sister in Christ. Thank you, Father, for this season of not only waiting, but expectation of you breaking into our lives. You're already present, but we're excited to think about how you will speak, nurture, mold us as the potter, and sustain us with your grace. We pray it all in the name of Christ, the one who comes. Amen.